Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
Hello, my media masochists. Welcome to The Worst Show on Earth, a podcast where my friends and I are on a quest to find the worst that television has to offer. I'm Matt Murphy, and I used to like anime. With me is that otaku extraordinaire, Alex Humphrey.
Hi, Alexu Des.
What fancy language are you speaking?
Japanese poorly.
Oh, that's very apropos.
I am disappointed by what we've done tonight.
Yeah.
Mostly disappointed in myself for doing it.
It was your idea. So, listeners, you may have heard about a global crisis that is forcing all of humanity to stay indoors for a while. That's made things a little tricky for us here at Gravehouse. Normally, we have two other co-hosts in Rachel Bieber and Tachi, the human IMDb. But because of the situation and technical limitations, it's just me and Alex for now. Benefits of being roommates.
That's why we're here in this special episode of Anime Purgatory.
Anime Quarantine.
Oh, right. It felt more like purgatory.
Yes. So we had a standing rule on the podcast that we've talked about on occasion, which is that we're just not going to touch anime at all.
It's just too hard. It's too dangerous.
It's just a bottomless cesspit of samey, tropey.
And to be clear, I love anime. I grew up on anime. I loved DBZ. I loved Cowboy Bebop. I grew up on Adult Swim. I watched Naruto. I was into all of it. Anime is 95% atrocious.
Yeah.
And we watched the bottom 5% of the atrocious.
This is an episode where we decided to focus on the ecchi genre.
A huge mistake, as I'm certain anyone who knows what that word means. Do you want to explain what that word means to our gentle listeners who've been spared to this side of the universe?
So the word ecchi is sort of a loner word from Japanese. The ecchi is their way of saying H.
Mm-hmm.
And the H stands for hentai. And hentai means pervert or pornography.
Now, we didn't watch porn per se.
No, I'm not going to be watching porn with my friends on a podcast. It just seems like a poor thing to have on the internet.
Does feel like it would worsen everyone's lives.
Yeah. So what we did is watch porn-adjacent anime.
It's pervy without any payoff.
Yeah, it's sort of akin to jiggle vision here in the U.S. Have you ever heard that term?
It's just really adolescent. It's tits and ass. It's stupid panty shots. It's the patriarchy flying its flag big and broad and wide and high.
But no nipples.
No, there was a little nip, but through a bathing suit or something.
Oh, yeah. No visual nipples. No depicted nipples.
To be clear, ecchi refers only to porny women. The men are never wrapped up in that. That's a different genre. There's a different term for that. We watched two shows.
We watched two shows tonight. The first, Kaijo.
Keijo. And we really have to emphasize that O because there are 8 exclamation points following
it. Yes, 8 exclamation points. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but my friend Tom Pinchuk came up with a rule about anime titles.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I call it the Pinchuk rule of anime titles. I'm really good at naming things. So the Pinchuk rule states that the more punctuation marks are in an anime title, the worse it's going to be.
Well, it holds up for this anime.
Yeah.
Let me ask you right up front. Mm-hmm. Do you think this show warrants 8 exclamation points?
God, no.
Because you screamed a lot during it.
Ugh.
Indeed, yeah. I don't even think we made it through the opening. No, we didn't.
No, your first reaction came at the goddamn thumbnail for the show.
Oh, you're right.
Where you said, I hate it already.
Because it's just butts. Okay, so here, we should give them a quick premise.
Yeah, so the premise is there's this sport in Japan called keijo.
It's not a real keijo. Sport.
What is it again?
Keijo.
Keijo is a sport played exclusively by women wearing bathing suits.
In a pool.
on a floating platform.
It's like swimming pool sumo, which should be cool.
Yeah, that part sounds great.
They can only touch each other and hit each other with their butt and their boobs. Oh, God, I hate saying it.
Yeah.
And that's really all you need to know about this
thing.
Yeah,
and it's
also a high school setting, because fuck you.
Because fuck you, that's a fetish. The basic plot of the first episode is we meet our protagonist, who's named Nozomi. She has some friends. She decides she wants to be a keijo player because she wants to be the richest one.
Yeah, that's her motivation, to be rich.
To be rich. She joins up in a trading academy?
It's a keijo academy where they just hit each other with their butts and boobs all day, I guess.
And fall over things. Don't forget about falling over things.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. That's it.
That's really it.
Can we get to the screaming?
Yes. Yeah, so we made it less than 1 minute into this show. Before we had to pause, because both of us, really.
Oh, yeah. No, it broke both of us simultaneously. We were not ready for just how ass forward the show is.
It doesn't show a female face for 10 seconds. It's just butts, 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 butts. Then, for some variety, it pans up and out to see some boobs, 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 boobs. Maybe some gams, gams, gams. But really, the faces are just an afterthought.
It's just so awful. We had to pause and start screaming. And it's at this point, I'm not going to spoil it yet. It's at this point I started to keep a tally of how often you screamed throughout the rest of the episode. I'll tell you the number at the end. You screamed a lot more during this show than I've ever heard you scream.
Really?
During anything.
My God, really?
It's true.
Even during the night terrors?
Anyway, I'm going to try to review this show without talking too much about the TNA. Because we could talk about that all day. And there's so much bad behind it that it's obscuring.
Behind it?
Yeah.
Like a butt joke. The total eclipse of the butt.
Because beyond just being about TNA, this show is nothing. It is the most generic, tropey, garbage show I've ever seen.
It is empty and vacuous.
Most of the characters have the same personality.
No, no, no. They don't have personalities. They have one-word adjectives that describe who they are. Like, clumsy, shy, quiet, tomboyish.
Cat,
there you go.
And for the most part, they all look the same. Like, their face is the same. It's just different hair. And that's about it.
What's even worse is that their body types are all almost identical.
It's just low-effort art.
There's a few of them in, like, the supporting cast that have different shapes.
And to be clear, listeners, they're not muscular in any way. This is not...
There were two
depicting
that were muscular-ish.
This is not depicting athletic women. It's
not
just
actual athletic people of any sort.
Let's talk about, though, what makes this thing unique, which is butt techniques.
Oh, you want to talk about the butt techniques already? Okay.
Because this is anime, and it's not just hitting each other with their asses. It's hitting each other with special moves using their asses.
Yeah.
Like, what was like the hip whip where she moved her butt so fast you couldn't see it, which... I don't know. Does she have like a dulcim butt that extends?
Oh, dulcim.
It like flaps out like 5 feet away from her.
Oh my God. See, you say that, you're prescient because I've seen clips of other episodes.
Oh, God. The opening is pretty promising. It's like one girl has a wolf ass. It's like literally there's a wolf's head where her butt should be in the opening.
It's like that was pretty cool. Spirit translucent wolf.
There's like... Oh, what were some of the other ones? There's an entire shadow clan of, like, butt people. It's so generic. It's like, take your generic fighting sports anime tropes, but then only butts. Oh.
To be fair, aren't we all butt people?
The show would have been okay if it was kind of self-aware.
I would argue it is self-aware.
But not enough.
It thinks that being aware of what it is enough.
I don't think it is aware of what it is.
I think it is. Like, you can't have something called... There's a technique.
It's aware that it's about butts. It's not aware that it's disgusting.
Yes. Oh, yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, there we go.
That's why I'm saying it's a very shallow...
Awareness.
Awareness.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what Nozomi's technique that she learns in episode 2 is called? I found this out of my research, listener.
I'm ready.
Vacuum butt cannon. So,
oh God. Oh,
and like she
man.
Upgrades it to like super vacuum butt cannon.
Of course, because that's how the trope works.
There's like a couple of side techniques.
It's
and
DBZ
stuff like that.
Rules.
Yeah. We have a flashback after Nozomi arrives at the academy to her like tryout to get into the academy.
Where they all have to like have a free-for-all battle on yeah. a bunch of platforms.
And I had a big problem with this scene because there's two different styles of uniform. There's a blue uniform with white stripes and a white uniform with blue stripes.
This is why you had a problem with this scene?
This is one of the... I'm trying to point out different things we have a problem with.
All right, fair enough.
We haven't even
fair
talked...
Enough.
We have
right.
not even talked about the big reasons I have problems with this show.
Okay.
Yet. Those two different swimsuits imply teams, but it wasn't a team sport. Like you said, it was a free-for-all. It made no sense. Like, if they're in an academy together, they should all have one uniform. But if they're on two teams, they should
tryouts.
Have two uniforms.
Maybe they're from different schools or something. My problem with it went more down to the anime level,
mm-hmm.
which is if you're going to make like a fighting anime about fighting techniques and such, there's some tropes you have to follow.
Sure.
I'm fine with. I'll buy into those. Characters are describing everything that's going on. That's true of this. A bunch of techniques. A bunch of like, haha, I have a secret technique. Haha, no, I've seen your secret technique, which this does. But it does it all in the shittiest, laziest way possible. Not that they aren't, the techniques aren't interesting. Like the fight is just them pushing back and forth. And no matter what technique they use, they just push back and forth.
Well, there was some animation recycling even, I think.
Animation-wise, I haven't even gone into it. Because, of course, this looks like crap. Stiff, miserable... Lots of still frames are like, ooh, sweat bubbles moving around their head, but like in the same position. So they're clearly just looping the same two frames over and over again.
I had a big problem when the butts touched. when butts touch in Keijo, they don't like, I mean, I don't think about butts touching all the time a lot. I mean, I don't think about butts touching a lot. But when they do, they generally don't form meat tubes.
Right.
Like, they almost fused together into one thing. For a split second, a part of the screen was showing me Akira and not and not like a TNA anime.
I never got to that point. I was always just too appalled by the TNA. So the real problem with this show, though, I think is it comes down to its vapidness. Because I was kind of on board for the concept. I could, my brain came up with ways this concept could be funny and done well. Which is like, don't have them be lolicon high schoolers. Have them be like huge, muscular, you know, if it was like a crazy Amazon fetish thing, I could have seen how it would have worked.
More niche is what you're saying.
It needed to go more niche. Yes, it was already
more variety of niche.
Incredibly niche.
There's one character who's very lolly. Oh, Alex, for those of us who aren't familiar with this term, what is lolly?
Oh,
what do you mean by that?
Lolly, it's underage.
There
it's
you go.
Statutory. It's upsetting. It's really prominent in anime. So prominent they have a nice word for it.
But the other ones have slightly different body shapes, but they're all some version of voluptuous.
You said you had really major problems with the show that you hadn't even brought up yet.
Yeah.
I want to hear them because I want to know what was even worse than what we've already described about this.
Alex, what are thongs made of?
In general, I mean, a variety of possible materials. Cotton, nylon, you know.
Fabric
is a good way to put it.
What if I told you this show made thongs out of the very elements themselves?
Go on.
There are characters in the show who can move their butts so fast that it creates air pressures that fly at their opponents.
Oh yeah, the projectile butt waves, yeah.
And apparently you can see this when you're a Keijo player. Because time slows down and you can just see the wind breaking as the ass comes out with the curves first.
You know, when you put it that way.
And that's not even the first time it happens. So when we started screaming, the reason we were screaming mm-hmm. at the very beginning of the show is it starts off with a balls to the wall pro Keijo match between five competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And these ladies know how to use their assets.
Oh my God.
One of them gets thrown out of the ring into the ocean. And she rises, not the ocean, into the pool. She rises ass first, her buttocks just breaking the ocean water.
Enough. I can't say butt anymore. I can't talk about butts anymore.
I said buttocks.
It's the same thing.
One is more erudite.
Do you want to know how many times he screamed?
Okay, how many times did I scream?
After the pause, mm-hmm. where we screamed a lot, you screamed another 28 times. That means you screamed more than once per minute.
Oh, God. No wonder my head hurts. So let's talk about butt techniques. Let's talk more about the lore of Keijo. I've done some lore diving,
okay,
Alex.
Tell me.
There's some wikis.
Tell me what's to come.
So,
what did I miss by not continuing Keijo?
In this episode, we see some interesting butt techniques, including butt guillotine, where they just jump really high and I guess...
Drop the butt on them.
And we always see
It's like a butt cannon where she throws her butt at her. It's the theme here. Just butt stuff.
But then there was a very interesting one where it was a butt that looked like giant boobs. And like that was the name of the technique.
Oh, she did like an illusion technique.
Yeah,
where
an illusion
technique.
It was
actually her butt. She left an after image.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the characters?
Let's talk about the characters.
And like not their butts. I don't remember.
I don't know if they have any actual things to talk about.
That's the thing, though. Character design of the characters aren't particularly butt-tacular. Their main character is enthusiastic and dumb. She has, like, a friend with white hair who's... She doesn't have a personality. Her personality is that she's, like, calm.
Calm and prim.
I guess. She wasn't, like, prim in, like, the Japanese ojo-sama, like, rich girl way. With, like, the and such. Yeah. She was just kind of like Rei from... Ava, she just had no emotion.
Alex, she had blue eyes, totally different.
And then they're like roommates, like one of them is clumsy but denies it, and the other one is a cat. Because her like her ponytail wags like a tail, like a cat's tail, which is kind of funny in other context, but just a waste.
Yeah, because how is that going to help in Keijo? She also wore a scarf for some damn reason.
Because that's part of her character design. You have to make characters... interesting when all their faces are the same by giving them accessories.
Kawaii. Oh my God. One of them was actually named Kawaii.
Was it?
I think it was the crazy one with the super fast butt that gave people concussions.
Oh yeah, the crazy Yandere one.
Yeah.
Who's like really...
She's very sweet, but man, does she love killing people with her butt.
She strikes with the butt so fast, she knocks people out via concussion.
Yeah.
And then they fall into water, and I'm like,
That's
lethal.
Are
they going to drown?
That's bad. There's no lifeguard on duty in this show.
But this show doesn't think about consequences.
No, why would they do that? This show really doesn't care if it's even showing you a boob or the butt. It warped the female form in such a way. It was unrecognizable.
It was horrifying.
Like, that's why I was screaming about it.
You screamed more at this than at the Brothers Grunt.
I did.
A show that is a visual fart.
It's funny every time it's said. So I have some factoids
to share with you. Give them to me.
This was a weekly manga, which is a Japanese comic of the same name. And they made 18 volumes of this.
Volumes. Oh, man.
The mangaka, which is the artist writer, is named Daichi Soreyomi. The anime lasted 12 episodes, some short videos. It's from 2016. If you want to watch it, it's on Crunchyroll.
These really feel more like facts than factoids.
What's the difference?
I feel like factoids are interesting.
Well, how about this for interesting? Fans in Portugal made a proof of concept real life Keijo League.
Okay. See, that's a great factoid.
Yes.
Because this show had fans.
Fans.
I guess it had 18 volumes of the manga.
It had 18 volumes of the manga, and this was one of the most popular streams on Crunchyroll the year it came out.
Oh. Well, there goes my faith in humanity.
We're not over yet. You know why? I have to tell you about the reason I know about this show.
Okay.
I don't remember how, but I came across the phrase sturdy demon king butt. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And I find Kaijo. And apparently once they get to the Pro League, which may not even happen in this show.
Oh, certainly not.
I have no fucking idea how long this show goes on for. But in the Pro League, there is a woman who has the power of the demon butt.
Is her butt possessed?
Unclear. But the butt does grow a demon face. She flexes and it turns into a demon face, like a Japanese oni.
I was going to say, I know exactly the face you're referring to. It's like the angry oni with like the bent in eyebrows and the really creased up face.
Yes. Also, her butt can photosynthesize.
Excuse me.
Yes. Yes. She uses the power of the sun to do a technique called full open, she turns her bikini into a thong by giving herself a wedgie. And photosynthesizes to get more energy to do sturdy demon king butt, which is her ultimate technique.
So you're saying this show gets more upsetting?
Oh, yeah. In the trailer that I watched for the show, there's another woman who seems to be able to just summon butts out of the air.
Summon butts.
Yes.
Like floating ghost butts. Yes. Please say yes.
Yes,
oh my
they're
God.
Floating. They're floating. They're in golden portals. They come out, of course, the same way they come out of everything, with just the orbs first.
Uh-huh.
And then there's like the thong thing. Oh God, this show's awful.
Is it like a Gilgamesh thing?
Yeah, it's exactly like a
Gate of Babylon, yes. But for butts.
Gate of, yes, exactly.
That's from the
what it is.
Anime series Fate, which sometimes is good and sometimes is terrible.
I thought it was always terrible except for Fate Zero.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Oh, this just in, Alex.
Oh, really?
We've got an email.
From who? From who?
From Tachi, the human IMDb.
He lives.
He managed to watch Keijo as well.
Oh, poor man.
And here are his thoughts performed in a Ken Burns' Civil War motif. Dear worst show on earth, I write to you from my current quarantine location in North Hollywood. For those unaware, North Hollywood is a lot like regular Hollywood, but just the disappointing parts. Our finest feature is our proximity to Burbank, which is one bearded barista away from being silver-like. Per Matt Murphy's instructions, I sought out the anime Keijo, a show that's easy enough to find but hard to buffer when no one else on the Wi-Fi has a job to go to. I assume that's the problem, and not that my computer was vomiting due to the show's subject matter. Nevertheless, I have seen the first two episodes.
Two?
An indication of my commitment, or possibly my tolerance for cartoon perversion. First, let me say what Keijo isn't. Boring. I have seen boring anime. I once had a roommate who searched and searched for any new anime to satisfy his addiction, the result being that I saw many episode ones and very few episode twos. Let me also enlighten you as to what my co-hosts did not experience, having not watched episode 2. The show finally includes anime staples missing from episode 1, training sequences, and food envy. Our heroes from room 309 merely eat unlimited eggs and rice for breakfast, whereas the upper-class students may have gelato. Food is a big deal in anime, and actually Asian cinema in general. I challenge you all. Watch 5 random American movies and 5 random Asian movies, and tell me which ones have drawn out dinner scenes. The Americans don't eat on camera, something to do with washing off figures or resetting the items for multiple takes. Anyway, did you know Keijo is also educational? In episode 2, we discussed the physiological differences between Eastern and Western butts.
Hold up. What?
I'll repeat for those in the back. In episode 2, we discuss the physiological differences between Eastern and Western butts.
Oh, that sounds really educational, yeah.
I won't go into details, mostly because I'm not rewatching that scene. But if my Western butt is an example, we don't have what it takes to pull off the butt figure eights these girls do in their training sequences. What insight! This show does for butts what Yakitate Japan did for bread.
Delightful show.
It is a delightful show. Episode 2 is also about fighting teachers in training, and most importantly, teamwork. Because while Keijo is a solo sport, these girls are in school, and you only advance if your roommates advance, or something. I don't know. Look, our heroes break the record for consecutive butt bops used to bop a beach ball because they communicate as a team.
Oh, God.
I still say 5 is a good number to start forming strong opinions about a show that's lasted for longer, but I submit this is juvenile nonsense and not the worst show on earth. So let me leave you with something I liked. The closing credits. Remember the feather from Forrest Gump? Or perhaps the plastic bag from American Beauty, adrift in the wind, challenging us to find beauty in everyday moments? Replace that with some swimsuits and imagine 4 anime schoolgirls chasing after them in a naughty but colorful ballet. It's the skill and talent of experienced artists applied to the mentality of that kid who drew boobs on the desk next to you while you were trying to remember what isosceles meant. The camera tilts up to a butt-shaped cloud.
What?
Because what else would the creators of Keijo see when they look at clouds?
We shouldn't have skipped the credits.
We were just in such a rush. Anyway, there's a little more left here. There is nothing in Keijo to make me want to see more. But I also wasn't repulsed enough to back down if challenged to go on. Yours in streaming, Tachi, the human IMDb.
That poor man. He has clearly gone so mad from isolation that he will take the ending of Keijo as a substitute for being outside. There's no other explanation.
That might actually be the best case scenario, yeah. So there you go. That's
the better show we watched.
That was the better show we watched. I hated it.
I hated it too.
And then we watched Iki Tosen.
So I had another counter for Iki Tosen. What? I meant to count every time you screamed.
Wow.
But the moment I saw the blurb for Iki Tosen, one Funimation's streaming service has to describe it, I knew what I had to track. Because it said, it's like, what's the main character's name?
Hofutsu or something like that?
Like Hofu?
Hofu?
H-O-U-F-U.
I just know there's a Futsu.
Hofutsu?
I think Hofutsu is
Hofutsu?
It. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We don't actually care. This show is terrible.
I'm going to call her Panty Girl.
Panty Girl, yeah.
Because the blurb was like Hofutsu's coming to
Kanto, yeah.
Like in Pokemon, to flash her panties and kick butts.
I thought it was Crack Skulls, but there are no point
skulls.
Stands.
Crack Skulls. Flash your panties and Crack Skulls. The order of those is important because the panty flash is more prominent than the cracking of skulls. Yeah. Considerably more prominent. So I started to track them, and the number is depressing.
Oh my God. Don't hold me in suspense on this one.
It's 50. There's 50 panty shots. There is 2 panty shots a minute.
That's a high PPM.
And that's, to be clear, some of them go on for 7 or 8 seconds.
Yeah.
So I would say the better part of half of this show is panty shots. Of one character.
No. The other character, battle vixen.
Fucking masochist maid. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
And this show upset me more on 2 parts. One, it's way rapier. At least Keijo is all women and somehow weirdly innocent.
They state explicitly in Keijo that they're all over 18.
And also weirdly innocent. Like, they aren't terribly pervy with each other.
Are you kidding? You forget about the woman who sexually assaults the main character in the first 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I repressed that.
Yeah. There is a character who's blonde. That's her big character trait. And she's also, I guess, a lesbian.
Oh, yeah.
Because she likes to molest girls, I guess. We forgot about that, listeners. That's Keijo. We're putting Keijo aside to talk about the worst thing. The worst show. Iki Tosen.
So Iki Tosen's concept is kind of cool. And that's the romance of the three kingdoms. The ancient Chinese legend about 3 feuding, family factions.
It's a true history.
It is.
That's been sort of fantasized.
Yeah.
Fantasized? It's fantastical.
Mm-hmm. And apparently there are the souls of the members of those houses are in these matagama, the little Japanese kind of teardrop gems.
Mm-hmm. They look like half of a yin-yang symbol.
Or like the number 9 or 6 with the hole there. Like half of the yin-yang is a better way to describe it. Apparently, if you have one, you have like the power of that spirit. That's like a solid shonen show right there. Jump off from there. Everyone has an ancient spirit. Mm. And you've already got the entire plot of the Romance of the Three Kingdoms to work off of. So, you know.
You don't have to write anything.
You don't have to try. You just make fight scenes. So, as you know, in the Romance of the Three Kingdoms, there are three kingdoms. So, in this, there are 8 schools. And this is where shit starts to go wrong. Because as far as I can tell, this show doesn't care one bit about the Romance of the Three Kingdoms. Yeah, I don't think it has a single thing to do with it.
I actually don't know anything about the Romance of the Three Kings, except that it's in Dynasty Warriors.
It's what Dynasty Warriors is.
Yeah.
Dynasty Warriors being a video game.
I've played those.
So there are three kingdoms, not 8 schools. It's like a political drama with family and such and great battles, which this show does not have. The show, as far as I can tell, it pays lip service alone. Like they picked a cool thing, pulled all the names out of it, but didn't learn anything about the Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
It felt to me a lot like Japan sort of appropriating China's culture.
It did feel kind of that way. It felt it was less loyal to the Romance of the Three Kingdoms than Dragon Ball was to the Son Goku myth.
Oh, the Monkey King.
Because at the very least, Goku has a tail and turns into a giant monkey sometimes.
This is standard anime stuff for those of you that don't know. So Iki Tosen apparently translates to a mighty knight who matches 1,000 knights. I don't know if that's true. I saw it on Wikipedia.
I'll take it.
Mm. It was also called Battle Vixens in North America.
Ugh. There's 2 Battle Vixens.
Yes.
But we only get a brief introduction of our second Battle Vixen because we're too busy being accosted by the show's unbelievably annoying fan service-y, male-gazy main character.
Yeah, so we're calling her Panties Girl, because I'm not going to butcher her name anymore. Panties Girl arrives at a new school.
Where she's beating everyone up.
She literally just starts kicking people.
Flashing her panties. This is when it starts. It starts in the opening, actually. It's relentless, the whole episode. I don't think I'm going to mention it again. Just know in the background that you are constantly being forced into the male gaze this whole show.
Yeah, it's telling you to look at the panties. So she's kicking all the butts, and then a really big guy shows up.
And I kind of liked his character design, because he's humongous and incredibly muscled, and has like a face like an old dog.
He reminded me of some sort of like child's toy. His arms like weren't attached to his body. They stuck out of his shoulders, like they were big round boulders on a joint.
Mm-hmm.
And so he takes a kick from Panties Girl and survives and throws her away.
After asking to see her matagama, her gem, which she's lost because, oh, we forgot the first sexual assault.
Yeah, the first sexual assault.
Because while she's fighting guys, there's just one character, and his character trait is that he can tell what size your boobs are.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Very classy gentleman.
He is such a fucking skeeve.
Yeah.
He is so skeevy.
And they play him off as this shrewd, like, observer manipulator.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one who knows what's really going on.
Gross.
He stole it, and he returns it to Panties Girl.
Later.
For some reason. Like, I don't know why he took it. I don't know why he gave it back.
They explain it, but they explain it so poorly.
Oh.
Because there's the scenes, and this is one of the other things. Let's go into this. Stop talking about panties. This is the place the show really sucks on the other side, because when there are no panties on screen to be gazed at, the male characters will engage in mysterious plot talk, where they talk about other characters and about what's going on, but mysteriously to imply to the reader things are strange, but not really explain it. But they do it so poorly and so strangely. They had an entire scene, I think, explaining what was going on, and I couldn't understand it.
No, it didn't make any sense, because we didn't know any of the characters they were talking about. It's sort of exposition dumping, but in a way that we can't, like, connect it to anything else.
Yeah, it's exposition, but exposition that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because we don't have the context yet.
It's like, in the year of the fourth bull, the Bulongs fought with their Gogon Jangs.
Oh, yeah,
the Gogon against Jangs. The Paolari. Ooh. And shit like that, where you're
that
like...
That made more sense than this.
You're right, at least story. I gave you the context yeah. that there was a war.
Yeah, I saw a whole race of people fighting another race of weirdos, and like...
So, exposition worse, the nonsense exposition with words you don't know.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an achievement, honestly.
The framing device is her cousin, whose name is Boy... We're not going to name him. We don't care.
I think he's not... just your staple anime main character who's awkward around women.
Yeah, you're right.
And is just lame and maybe secretly a martial arts master as a rapey guy pins him to a wall in a sexual scene.
Yeah, it was weird. Like,
and
yeah.
threatens him that he knows that he's a fighter. It's framed around, she's like, come to Kanto, and her cousin's picking her up outside the school, and he like takes her to the nurse's office, and they exposition dump that she's been sent here by her mother.
Yeah.
Because she has to bring peace to the Kanto region where all they...
And conquer it.
She has to conquer the region where all these schools are fighting with the spirits of the Romance of the Three Kingdoms. And she has to stop the fighting and pacify it. I don't think we've really explained how airheaded and stupid our main character is.
No, she doesn't. It's like she's not aware of sex.
She's not aware of what's going on around her.
Yeah.
She's an absolute moron and a huge airhead.
She doesn't realize she's being assaulted.
Her manner of speech, it doesn't come over in the subtitles very well, but her manner of speaking, she has that high, shrill, ultra-squeaky Japanese voice that gets used in anime for airheaded characters. And in most media, when a character's airhead, they have a really high, squeaky voice. And just talks like a child.
Yeah, she's very juvenile.
It's incredibly grating on the ears. And really at odds with the tone of the rest of the show. Because every scene that doesn't contain her is kind of trying to convey menace. And then she's
very
just
serious.
She's just obnoxious and pervy.
And not her personality. It's just the way she is drawn and the way that they depict her in the show is clearly just whack-off material. Not really much else to say about that.
Well, there's her mother who shows up at the end of the episode.
Yeah,
who sent her there, who's like, thing is stripping, I guess.
She decides she's going to get drunk and celebrate moving. And shows her boobs to everyone, I guess. And
Boy's like, oh no, boobs, I'm afraid of those.
Well, it's his aunt, I mean.
I guess.
But then there's a bath scene where he's taking a bath by himself. And then...
Weirdly, that was the least pervy scene. Because somehow when she takes her clothes off, they stop giving, like, glory shots of her ass.
Mm. They show her butt a couple times, but it's not.
Like, but from the side, it's way less egregious than the panty shots.
The panty shots, some of them have camel toe. Just
let's talk about why these panty shots are so awful. The show, as I said earlier, forces you into the male gaze.
Yeah.
You are forced to be this oogling asshole. And I feel like the show forces you into this character where it's looking at this like, this girl can beat the shit out of like 30 grown-ass men. But all we as the viewer care about is her butt, boobs, and how cute and airheaded she is. And it's just, it's like it makes you a chauvinist unwillingly by giving you this view of a powerful character that's utterly disempowering.
Mm.
And in that regard, it's horrifying.
I didn't even find her cute.
She isn't.
She's annoying. I found her character design to be... Mm. Very, like, her face just looked very flat.
All the character designs are ugly in
yeah.
the show.
Yeah, so to get back to the plot of the show, though. Apparently the school that Panties Girl shows up at is ruled by the four big bads. One of which is the
big
Hulk
guy
who fought her. So after Hulkman collapses from lingering injuries, I guess, from the fight...
This was exposited very poorly. I think she kicked him so well that his body was reacting to her latent fighting spirit or some shit like that.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. I believe
maybe it's his like spirit inside him reacting to her spirit.
the next thing you know, he's fighting a bunch of randos in a park in the dark.
Is like about every other scene is kind of menacing, bad fighting, right?
Yeah, the fighting doesn't look good. It's not choreographed. It's not pretty. It's just sort of like Mortal Kombat 1, mm-hmm. where like suddenly the fist is out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like fighting people on the street and then he gets jumped by BDSM maid.
The BDSM maid character, who is, I guess, the king of the school.
No, she... I think she's trying to unseat all the kings. She's like the Black Knight.
No, she's like the ruler of the school. Because later in the show, she has to team up with Patty's girl all the time.
I still got the vibe that she was a Black Knight and not... She was like an up-and-comer and they have to...
No, I think she was the ruler of the Big Four. You know? She might have been above the Big Four. It doesn't matter.
I don't care.
You're right. It doesn't actually matter, guy. Wait, I can't tell them it doesn't matter. The podcast is about this shit. This maid is very important and very interesting. She has an eye patch. Did I mention she's a maid?
And handcuffs?
Handcuffs. Very crazy.
And panty shots.
And so she is the second character to get panty shots. So she knows she's important.
And she's also the second woman.
So it's not great. None of this is great.
So Keijo is bad and juvenile. Ikitosen is upsetting and evil.
You don't even know yet.
I am ready to hear. I'm ready to learn. Tell me.
The fighting gets so intense, Alex.
Uh-huh.
That when they punch each other or kick each other, clothes just fly off them. Just explode away.
So this is a major genre of anime. Like, etchy. We're not talking about one or two shows that are like this. These are merely the worst offenders of an actual genre.
We'll talk about the worst offender at the end of the show.
Oh, yeah.
The hole goes deeper, folks. We'll get there.
One we wouldn't even go near.
Yeah.
I was just in awe at how shitty the show was. And to hear that it has multiple adaptations, did I get that right?
Not adaptations, but sequel series. So let me go through the chronology. First is Ikitosen. Then you have Ikitosen Dragon Destiny, followed by Ikitosen Shining Dragon, followed by Ikitosen Great Guardians, followed by, and this is the kicker, Ikitosen Extreme Executor.
Oh, fuck you.
Fuck me. I had nothing to do with
you
this.
You said it.
I guess I'm guilty by association.
I take it these are OVA series, right?
No. There are additionally three OVA series.
Oh my god.
OVA, folks, stands for Original Video Animation. It's sort of direct to home video stuff. But in Japan, this is sometimes a mark of quality.
There can be quality OVA series where they don't feel they have a place on network television or are, you know, too violent, too pervy, or just too niche. Hmm. And they'll make them as like a 3-episode OVA. Frequently, they're made for shows that have ended and people want more of. And it's like 3 extra episodes that fans can go out and buy.
Hmm.
And that's an OVA. They're doing more with like movies and such now.
Makes sense. Market's changed.
But they're still around. They're a big part of anime. How many OVAs does this have?
3. Mm-hmm. Other things I thought were interesting about this show. There was one scene in the nurse's office,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was especially emblematic of the whole goddamn experience.
Please, go on.
Patty's girl just got beaten up by the big guy, and her cousin is nursing her wounds in the thing. While they're talking, they cut to the waste bin nearby.
Yeah, when she's reflected as literal garbage.
She is reflected in the waste bin's shiny exterior.
Do you think it was intentional? Do you think they knew that they were symbolically saying that their main character was literal trash?
I don't know. I just don't know. Not without watching more of the show, which just saying that out loud gave me the shivers.
Oh, I can't look at this show anymore. Like, beyond how pervy this show is, it's just so ugly.
Mm.
Everyone is off model all the time. The faces are hideous. The animation is stiff. The Foley is bad. I made a note of that. The Foley sounds bad. Like, people running, their footfalls sound bad. The sounds of hits, the sounds of, like, a trash can falling over, they sound bad. Mm. The whole production sounds so amateurish. It's so low budget. So let's talk about Aiken.
Yeah. So this is our dishonorable mention portion of the show.
There was a show we juggled because we went to lists. We researched shows. We're like, what's the worst anime?
Unanimously, uniformly, every list pointed to this show called Aiken, of which apparently there were only 2 episodes ever produced. I watched 1 clip of it and almost threw my laptop out a window.
I almost don't want to describe it. I almost want to spare them what it is. I certainly can't dwell on it. It's boobs.
It's worse than boobs.
They're so big.
They're so big. They move like...
It's porn.
I don't know. It's... Aiken, this one is actually soft
porn. We didn't
porn.
Watch Aiken because it was actually porn.
We could only find it on porn sites.
But marketed as ecchi and was just so upsetting. When, like, maybe if you want to screw up your Google search history, I recommend an incognito tab for this. A closed door and make certain no one's watching
behind you. My YouTube history is fucked, guys. Totally fucked. I can see nothing but weird pervy shit. The boobs are enormous and on characters that shouldn't have boobs because they're too young. And the one clip that I watched
mm-hmm.
has a trope in anime of a boy falling on a girl and accidentally groping her.
Yeah.
The protagonist does this and his hands sink into this poor character's...
I'm done. That's enough Aiken.
It's like bread dough.
Stop. Oh, it's, Lord.
Oh. That's why I stopped. That's why we're not watching Aiken.
I think...
It's too gross.
I think this episode has gone to the angriest we've ever been at something we've watched.
We're both deeply offended by what we witnessed tonight.
How do we reconcile this with our other worst shows? This was much worse to watch than The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Desmond Pfeiffer, sometimes I'd be led on by a scene where I'd be like, what the hell is going on in this scene? And I could kind of revel in the incompetence of the scene. Ikitosen was more incompetent than Keijo was in its production quality and story balancing.
Yeah.
But both were just so utterly off-putting. We've definitely confirmed why we don't do anime on this show.
Yeah, and it just keeps... There's other shows that are just like this. They come out every season, and it just never ends. It never ends.
Has this become a PSA? Do we end this with, please,
don't do anime?
Don't watch ecchi anime.
I think we're telling people not to watch anime at this point.
There's some great anime.
There is great anime.
The Castlevania show, I've been watching that on Netflix. That's not ecchi.
No,
it's written by Warren Ellis. I have my complaints. But it's not about panty shots.
No, it's not.
Beastars, which is I've watched recently. There's great shows. Mob Psycho, which I just cleared through. My Hero Academia is very popular in its shonen genre and also not pervy. Anime is just plagued by this perviness because it sells outrageously to like one specific niche market who will buy body pillows and figurines and 3 DVD collections of the same show.
Were these shows worse than Heil Honey, I'm Home?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
In a very targeted women as objects sort of way. I just don't think we can evaluate anime by the same metric we evaluate our other television.
I guess so. I mean...
It's too problematic. And it's too institutionally problematic to say this is show itself is bad. It's a whole genre that's bad. I can't really give it the throne of worst show based on the fact that it's in an appalling genre. It's like if we're like, man, that snuff film was the worst film I've ever seen. Yeah, but it's a snuff film. They're all the worst film you've ever seen.
Wow. So would you prefer to watch Aiken or a snuff film?
Am I being the one snuffed?
How could you watch it at that point?
It would be preferable.
Well, that answers that, folks. And on that delightfully sour note, Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Tell a friend about our media masochism and leave us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts so that we can share our hatred of this shit with the world. We'd also love to hear from you. If you have a show to suggest to us or want to correct something we didn't really research enough today, you can email us at worstshowonearth@gmail.com. worstshowonearth@gmail.com.
And we'll be back hopefully next week with a non-anime quarantine episode.
Yes.
We're probably going to alternate, so you're not just going to get us screaming with rage about anime every week.
And we're hoping to mix it up. Hopefully, like, not all anime is pervy, right? Not
I'm pretty excited anime. For Card Fight Anime.
Yeah, Card Fight Anime is in the works. We have another one that's about the Ed Wood of anime.
Oh, yeah, that should be promising.
But we're doing our research and doing our damnedest to get you the best content. And until next time, enjoy what you watch, no matter how crappy it is.